Good evening. The question was raised in terms of Shavuos. Shavuos is unique among the Yom Tovim in that it doesn't have a date. And I'd like to discuss a few issues that might be relevant to the fact that no specific date is given in Shavuos, but really to focus on one. Maybe we'll just add in a few others at the end, but focus on the question of not starting Shavuos early, the widespread minhag among Klal Yisrael, not to start Shavuos early, and how that fits with the practice that we have the rest of the year of starting Shabbos early. So to look a little bit at that topic, the topic of Tosefes Shabbos, so there is a Gemara in Maseches Rosh Hashanah and Daf Tes, where the Gemara tells us that we can look at the pasuk that refers to fasting on Yom Kippur and notice something very interesting. That the pasuk about Inui, or one of the pasukim telling us about Inui, refers to the ninth day of Tishrei. And as we know from our basic Jewish knowledge, that according to most poskim, Yom Kippur is the tenth of Tishrei. In fact, according to all poskim, Yom Kippur is the tenth of Tishrei. So what's pshat on saying that we should fast on the ninth? So the Gemara actually has two answers to this question. There's one answer in the Gemara in Yuma, and one answer in the Gemara in Brachas, and one answer to the Gemara Shana, but whatever it is, why there's two answers is a good question. But the answer that we want to focus on is the answer in the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah and Daf Tes, where the Gemara says that Mikan Shema Yisifin Michal HaKadosh, that what you see from here is that there's an obligation to start Yontif and Shabbos early, that we take from the Chol and we add it on to the Kodesh. So almost all the Rishonim understood from here a basic obligation all year round of Tosefes, Shabbos, and Yontif. That not only should we start abstaining from Malacha and observing Kedusha Sayom from, let's say, Shkia, or Machmir on Shkia rather than Seis, because we're usually dealing with a Daraisa, but not only should we at least start from then, but that we should start a little bit earlier, and that apparently is a Din Min HaTorah understood as the interpretation of this pasuk. So almost all the Rishonim took this view. A very notable exception is the Rambam. That the Rambam in Hilchos Shvisos Sa'aser, he does bring this din, but he brings it in a minimalist way, that he only says exactly what the pasuk says. So therefore, it only applies, and as far as he tells us, it only applies to Yom Kippur, and not even everything about Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur has different elements to it. It has an Isser Malacha, and it has a Tainus. So the Rambam only tells us that there's a mitzvah of Tosefes as far as the Tainus is concerned, that we have to start the fast early. But as far as Issa Malacha, so we don't necessarily know that there is any such thing. So what are we to read from the fact that Rambam doesn't acknowledge Tosefes Shabbos at all in his Mishnah Torah? So many of the Acharonim thought that, okay, you see from here that the Rambam only holds that Tosefes Shabbos is a mitzvah of the Rabbanan. And there were others who said, hold on a second, like some of those that Caleb on the page, say, wait a minute, the Rambam doesn't talk about it at all. So we don't necessarily know that he acknowledges Tosefes Shabbos even on a level of the Rabbanan. Maybe he doesn't have any concept of Tosefes Shabbos. So that was a question, a little bit of a debate. Meshech Chachma talks about this in the Vilna Gaon, and the Avnei Nezer as a tshuva, different positions taken on this issue about whether the Rambam believes in Tosefes Shabbos, even Midrabban. Okay, be that as it may, the rest of us assume that there is a concept of Tosefes Shabbos, and that all year round, not just this time of year because it's convenient, but that all year round, it's obligatory to start Shabbos at least a little bit early because of this concept. So the question is, what's going on? What happens if I start Shabbos? Let's say Shabbos is going to start, whatever starting means. Shabbos is going to start at 5:52, and I started at 5:20. So what did I accomplish? What am I doing? What is the mitzvah of Tosefes Shabbos? So there were essentially two schools of thought about this question. The first school of thought we could call the ambitious school. The ambitious school really believes that we have tremendous power here. And according to the ambitious school, so what are we doing? We are actually turning Friday afternoon into Shabbos. Now, you've heard of turning Friday night into Shabbos. This goes even better than that. This means you can take broad daylight and complete chol and make that into Shabbos. For all purposes, for all intents and purposes, it becomes Shabbos. That's quite a thing. Yes, sir?
What was
the drasha again? The drasha is from Yom Kippur. The Torah says, V'nisem, b'tisha l'chodesh, I forgot the exact lashon of the pasuk. So the ninth of the day, ninth of the month, so what's pshat? How do you, not fasting on the ninth, fasting on the tenth? So the Gemara says, no, that you're fasting a little bit from the ninth as well. So, what's pshat on that? So either you could say like this, that you're mamish creating Shabbos, or you could say that no, you're not able to actually create Shabbos. Rather, what you're able to do is pretend it's Shabbos. Which is a little hard to understand. Why would I want to pretend? We're a little old for that. So you have to figure out exactly what that means. So if we say that the idea is that you mamash believe it's Shabbos, so I can understand that. Right? Because apparently the purpose of the mitzvah has to do with adding Kedusha into the world. That when Shabbos actually comes, there's going to be Kedusha already. So I want to show that I don't want to just wait for the Kedusha to come hit me in the nose. I want to bring Kedusha in myself. Okay, so apparently I have the power to do that. And then I understand why I want to do that. But if there's no Kedusha involved, if I can't really make Shabbos, all I can do is abstain from Malacha while waiting for Shabbos. So I'm essentially pretending that it's Shabbos. What does that accomplish? So it seems like this is a reference to an idea we find in the Medrash. The Medrash in the Parshas Bereishis. So there's a famous kasha that everybody talks about, and Chazal have a number of different answers in different places in Chazal. The question is, the Torah says that God finished creating the world on the seventh day. So everybody asks, so that's not true. Don't we believe He created the world in 6 days? On the seventh day, He wasn't creating. So there are different answers. You're probably familiar with the answer that Kadosh Baruch Hu created Menucha and Shabbos. Chazal in different places have different answers to this. So one of the answers is a little bit less well known, as a Medrash in Bereishis says as follows, that we can't perceive time in the same way. So Kadosh Baruch Hu can be very precise about time, and He can keep working up until a gazillion second before Shabbos and then stop and be shoivis on Shabbos. And to us, we can't perceive the difference. We can't see exactly where this border is. So therefore, to us, it looks like He's mamish going over the border, like He's doing malacha on Shabbos. But in reality, the malacha is only happening up until that last point right before Shabbos. So that issue, therefore, says the Medrash, because of that fact that we can't tell the difference, so a bus of a dam, they're not capable of being so precise. So therefore, Maisifim Michal HaKadosh. So because we can't tell exactly where the line is, without getting into Shkia, it says, Tesekochavim, the Gerar, Rebbein Utam, the whole story. Just say, let's say I knew that Shabbos starts at 6:32. But I don't know when 6:32 is. That itself is very difficult. So therefore, if we wait up until Shabbos starts, we're for sure going to do Malach. So therefore, maybe the notion is that we have to create a buffer zone between now and Shabbos. That we can't wait up until the Shabbos starts. We have to create a buffer zone where we're not going to do malacha, so that we're not going to be mechal Shabbos. So if that's true, so the whole thing is a siag. Sounds like it's a safeguard. So if we say, like one view of the Rambam, that the whole din is a din derabbanan, so okay, then it's very much in the style of dinei derabbanan, which are often safeguards. But if we say it's a deraisa, so that gives us a 27th opportunity this year to make reference to the concept of a siag deraisa that Rav Yosef Engel made famous in his list in his Sefer Lekach Tov, that there is a notion sometimes that you could have a din from the Torah itself, and that din is there to protect another din in the Torah. And in fact, this is on Rav Yosef Engel's list, this particular example. He quotes this Medrash, might even be the first thing on his list, or the second thing. That Tosefa Shabbos, albeit a din min haTorah, maybe is a siag for other dinim. Okay, so that gives us two different views. That either we mamish make it into Shabbos because we like being holy, or we're just pretending it's Shabbos because we don't want to risk violating the Shabbos. So what difference does it make? Who cares? We say one way or the other. So okay, so you should feel holier, that's nice, but does it have any practical differences? So it seems that it does have a practical difference. And that practical difference represents itself in a number of ways. And primarily, it's three machlokas in between the Marshal and the Taz. And that's going to get us to our Shavuos question. So first of all, the basic issue is, we understand that I'll stay away from violating the prohibitions of the day during Tosafos. But what about the positive themes of the Yontif for the Shabbos? Do those also apply during the time of Tosafos? So first I'll give an example that's not so relevant to our lives, probably. I don't know if any of you were hoping to get married Shavuos night. This might be relevant. Get married any other, or certainly any other Yontif night. So normally we assume that it's prohibited to get married on Yontif. Presumably, as Tosis explains, it's a din d'oraisa, ma'arvin simcha v'simcha, learned out from the pasuk. So therefore, it seems like it's quite prohibited to get married on Yontif. Nonetheless, the Gemara Maseches Ksubis on Daf Mem Tes does discuss the possibility of somebody marrying off his daughter on Yontif. Says Tosis, what's up? So you can't do that. So Tosis gives two possible answers. One answer is that all we really care about in life is the food. That the real simcha of the wedding is the suda. So therefore, that's the problem. Im arvin simcha v'simcha means you can't have a sudas nesu'in on Yontif. But the marriage itself, okay, that's not such a big deal. So maybe in the case of the Gemara, they had the suda before Yontif, and only the wedding itself on Yontif. That's one suggestion in Tosfos. The other suggestion Tosfos has is that maybe this wedding took place bizman Tosafos. They brought in Yontif early, and then during that time that they brought it in, that's when they had the suda. So why should that help? Apparently it's machlokas then. The two answers in Tosfos don't agree with each other, so apparently it's machlokas within Tosfos whether or not it's mutter to get married during the time of Tosafos Yontif. So what's the issue? So a lot of the Achronim explain what the issue is, that the issue seems to be that if Tosafos Yontif, has the status of Yontif or not. That if we're just pretending, so then we abstain from Malacha, we abstain from whatever else. But not getting married is not really an Isser by itself. It's a function of a positive theme that's there in Yontif. It's a function of the existence of Simcha. So Ein Ma'arvin Simcha B'Simcha assumes that there's Simchas Yontif going on. So is there Simchas Yontif during the time of Tosafos? So apparently, or at least very likely, that's the question that Tosfos is discussing. All right, so that's not so practical. You probably weren't thinking of getting married at that time. But there's a case that's much more practical, especially this time of year, and that's the first machlokas between the Taz and the Marashal. Truth is, it's not just them. It was machlokas we've shown them before that, but for it to fit into our three Tazes and Marashal, so we have to discuss it from that source. But Tosfos already discusses this in the Sefer Tzachma. And elsewhere, Friday night dinner. Right, you're gonna bring in Shabbos early in the summer. Do we assume that once you made Kiddush and you went home, so now you want to have dinner? So can you have dinner during the Zman Tosafos? So that was machlokas between the Taz and the Marashal. According to the Marashal, no. It's not really Shabbos. It's only a time when you're abstaining from Malacha. So therefore, the mitzvah, the positive commandment of Suda Shabbos, that requires it to be actually Shabbos. So you're going to have to wait till dark. While the Taz says, no, you actually turned Shabbos on. It's now real Shabbos. So therefore, it shouldn't be a problem to have your Suda Shabbos then. I should point out, even according to the Marashal, it's not as much of a chumrah as it sounds. Like, it's like, well, That's a terrible chumrah, because the whole point of my davening early was so that we shouldn't have to wait till dark to have dinner. So I lose the whole effect if I can't have my Suda Shabbos early. So it's not really the whole story. That even if you want to be machmir for that, it would just mean that you have a kezias of bread after dark. You can still start and make kiddush and do everything else during that earlier time, so you still gain a lot. It would just mean that you should also be machmir to make sure to have at least a kezias of bread after the border. So kiddush for sure you can, which is an interesting side question, which we might talk about tonight, but we have too many other things we want to tie in, so I'm not sure if we will. But the problem is Tosus is the kind of the elephant in the room, because it's the first thing you'd think we should talk about. But it's outside of discussion, because the Gemara says explicitly that you can make kiddush when it's light outside. So there is some other, because that's a problem for the Rambam. The Rambam denies the whole story. So there's a whole other wing to talk about how we deal with kiddush. So maybe we'll see if we can get to it tonight, probably not. Okay, fine. So that was a machlokas 2 days in Tosfos and Pesachim and Sadi Testament base, and it's also a machlokas between the Taz and the Marashal and the side of the Shulchan Aruch, Taz quotes the Marashal. Now I should point out parenthetically that same Tosfos observes that no matter what you hold, it's not going to help you for the Seder night. The Seder night is always late, and now they change the clock always before Pesach, so it's really frustrating. But still, this doesn't help. Even to say it's absolutely Pesach wouldn't help. As Tosfos explains, and as other Rishonim get more into it, that matzah you wouldn't be able to fulfill during the Zman Tosefes, even if you believe that it's 1,000% Pesach. Why? Because the next morning is also 1,000% Pesach. But you can't fulfill matzah then either, because matzah requires not only Pesach, it requires Pesach night. So therefore, even if it's totally Pesach when you do Tosefes, it's not going to be enough to allow matzah, and not just matzah, but really Dalet Kosos also. So really the whole shebang of the Seder is not going to be able to take place during the time of Tosefes. He's presumably not saying the Siak Siak.
He's presumably saying it the other
way. Right. Presumably he is the major captain of the team that says that it's actually flipping the day. So the second machlokas between the Taz and the Marashal is as follows. What about Shmini Atzeres? The Marashal had a chumrah that in Shmini Atzeres, so you should bring in Shmini Atzeres early as Tosefes Yantiv, but you shouldn't eat your meal then. And not just like the Friday night thing where you said you should be machmor, eat also after dark. But in this case, you shouldn't eat at all before dark. Why not? Because, says the Marshal, you're going to be so confused about what to do with brachas. Because when it comes to Shmini Atzeres, so the Gemara says in Chutz La'aretz we should sit in the sukkah, but not make a bracha. So what are you going to do? You're going to eat your meal in the sukkah. And should you make a bracha or not? Well, I don't know. Maybe it's Shmini Atzeres I brought in, so I shouldn't make a bracha. But on the other hand, it's still light outside. It's still sukkah, so I should make a bracha. So I don't know. I'm so confused. It's going to really annoy me. So therefore, maybe I shouldn't be eating that. And the Taz says, no way. You're actually bringing in Yantif. So therefore, you brought in Shmini Atzeres. You're not confused between Shmini Atzeres and Sukkos. You know it's Shmini Atzeres, and that's the rule that's going to pertain. Okay. The third Taz in the Marashal is about Shavuos. So I'm going to have to delay that for dramatic purposes and talk about another point or two first. First of all, there's a fourth Taz, which we're mentioning third, which I think is a little difficult because it seems to go against the Taz that she tossed out. The first two and the upcoming third Tazes all seem to hold that you mamash flipped the day. So there's another Taz, which I thought was a little difficult. I'm not really sure how to satisfyingly tie it in. But he says as follows. First, another question by way of introduction to that. What would happen if, let's say, I brought in Yontif, I brought in Shabbos, on Friday afternoon I bring in Shabbos, and then I realize I probably shouldn't have done that. Why? Because I'm sitting at work in front of my computer an hour drive from home, and it's really not a good time for me to start Shabbos. I still have to turn off my computer, drive home, and get ready. So I regret this. I want to undo this. I want to do a she'ela, a taras nadar. So can I? So that was machlokas aposkin. I thought it should depend on the issue of whether it's mamash Shabbos or not. If it's mamash Shabbos, then it seems like you're stuck. But if it's you're just kind of acting like a Shabbos, so then that would seem to be a nether, and presumably that nether is subject to being canceled. So I would have thought that Taz would basically assume that it's irrevocable based on that approach, which could be wrong, but that's the way I would have thought. So the Taz writes in Hilchos Rosh Hashanah that there was a Maisa Shahaya where they had a certain town somewhere where there was a three-day Yontif. It was 2 days Rosh Hashanah going into Shabbos. And they had a very depressing Rosh Hashanah because somebody stole their shofar. So the whole Rosh Hashanah, they couldn't blow a shofar. So it comes Friday afternoon, they're so depressed, this has been a miserable Rosh Hashanah. Let's bring in Shabbos already and enjoy that. So they brought in Shabbos. Right after they bring in Shabbos, so the Pony Express comes in and says, look what I found. Found your shofar. You still have time, still an hour left, blow shofar and Rosh Hashanah. So they don't know what to do because they brought in Shabbos already. And not only do we not blow a shofar on Shabbos, but we don't blow a shofar on the 3rd of Tishrei, which is what they brought in. They brought in the day after Rosh Hashanah. So what's pshat? What do you do? So the Taz says you blow shofar. The Taz says the whole acceptance was a mistake. And it's obvious it was a mistake because nobody would have brought it on in a situation like this to be mevatel a mitzvah. So therefore it's all batel me'elov. So I think that's a little bit difficult because it doesn't really fit the pattern of the Taz as elsewhere. And the Taz himself points out that there are kashas you might ask, which he tries to deflect. But that's a little bit difficult to fit in. There is a later issue that was discussed, which also ties into this whole story in both ways. The Netziv has a tshuva, a short tshuva in his Meshuv Dover, where he discusses the following scenario. He says, let's say you have a woman who brings in Yontif. She lights candles and accepts Yontif early, say, whatever, an hour and a half before Yontif. And then she gets a telegram that a relative of hers passed away and was buried already. So she's supposed to start Shiva immediately, normally. Problem is, now it's Yontif. So what do you do? So here, this is a very big difference between the two possibilities. Because if you assume Yontif really started, so the din is you wait until after Yontif, maybe that's a week later, and there's a full Shiva afterwards, like a funeral that happens on Chol Hamoed. But if the issue is that really Yontif hasn't started yet, so then the practice would be to sit a very short Shiva until Yontif starts, and then Yontif comes and knocks out the Shiva and it's over. So it's a big difference, either a half hour Shiva or a Shiva that's a full length starting a week later. So one would think it really depends on these two possibilities. Is it mamash Yontif? Or is it just kind of a fake Yontif? It happens to be that the Netziv himself doesn't take that approach in analyzing it, and he analyzed it from the point we just discussed, the question of whether you can go back on a accepting Tosefes Yontif. Because he assumes that this woman for sure would not have wanted to bring on Yontif. So then the question is, can she undo it? So that's the angle he takes in discussing the question. So what does this all have to do with Shavuos? So there is an approach that many have, a widespread minhag among Klal Yisrael, not to bring in Shavuos early. This is the biggest chumrah, not like Friday night where we're talking about being machmer not to finish your meal before until after dark. And not like the Seder where we can't start a meal until after dark, and not like Shemini Atzeres, not like any of that. But here, not even to Daven Ma'ariv really until dark. So why should that be? So the way the Taz and the Magen Avraham explain that it has to do with the Tamimus of Yontif, or Tamimus of Sfira rather, that the Torah says that you should count 7 complete weeks, and therefore you have to wait till the week's end. And if you're going to start Yontif early, so that's going to cut into the process of the counting of Sfira, and it's going to be lacking. So that approach clearly only makes sense according to the Taz, the kind of Taz's view. Because if you hold like the Maharshal, So this wouldn't get off the ground, because according to the Marashal, it's not actually Yantif, you're just abstaining from Malacha. So why in the world would I think that abstaining from Malacha for an hour at the end of Svira would have any impact on my Svira? Doesn't seem to be a reason. So therefore, this whole Chumrah is apparently dependent on the assumption that you're not really starting Svira yet. You're not really starting Yantif completely. So the problem is, the Achronim have a hard time with this, because this is not a din that you find in the Gemara or in the Rishonim or in the Shulchan Aruch. So this is a late breaking Chumrah. And it's a Chumrah, the Asul of Day Kula, it seems, because it is against a mitzvah in the Torah. If a mitzvah in the Torah, the way most Rishonim understand, to start Yontif early, and as far as we know, Shavuos is a Yontif, should have this concept. And yet, because of this Chumrah that we only find already in the Achronim, then we're willing to dispense with the mitzvah in the Torah. It's a very hard approach to take. So Rav Moshe Sternbach and others suggest that the issue is that maybe the key factor is that Shavuos doesn't have a date in the Torah. So if you have a date, so then you could essentially extend that date. But Shavuos doesn't happen on any specific day of the month. Rather, what happens is you count 49 days from the second day of Pesach. And when that ends, so therefore Shavuos begins. So it's not shayach for me to say I'll take this day and I'll make it earlier, because the day only becomes a yontif by finishing Sfira first. So therefore, maybe there's a reason, an additional element to say, I can't compromise that process. I can't cut off the process of Sfira to begin Shavuos early. That's how Rav Sternbach explains. There's another approach, by the way, there's many other suggestions. If you look, I think Rav Harfinis in his Sefer on Shavuos has a couple of other explanations. Many other explanations as to why it is we don't start Shavuos early. Remember one, it could be the Nitziv explains it because of Etzem, that Etzem, the Torah uses the word Etzem in the context of Shavuos, and that Etzem, the Gemara has to exclude Tosafos. That's why there's no Onesh for Tosafos. I think that's also an approach that you find. But one of the more interesting approaches that somebody brings, I think Rav Harfinis quotes it from somebody, that there is a Shaila, the first Machlokas Rishonim in Shas. I don't remember if we talked about this year, but the question of why is it that we daven early ever, and we say Kriya Shema, if the Mishnah says essentially that Kriya Shema, I have to figure out how to read the Mishnah, but the Mishnah seems to be saying that you can't say Kriya Shema until after Tzei Sakochav. So what happens when you daven early? It's a whole machlokas Rishonim what happens. So Rashi says that what you do is you daven early in shul, but that has nothing to do with your mitzvah of Kriya Shema. And your mitzvah of Kriya Shema, you fulfill Kriya Shema Lamita. So someone wanted to suggest that all year round, so you daven early because you'll say Kriya Shema Lamita, and that will be you'll say Kriya Shema for you. But Shavuos night, what's the problem? You stay up all night, so you don't say Kriya Shema Lamita. So therefore, we have to worry that you're not going to be yotzei Kriya Shema, so therefore the shul shouldn't daven early, shouldn't let people go without saying Kriya Shema. That's an interesting suggestion. But the most common suggestion is this one, that it's like the Taz and the Magen Avraham, that's an issue of cutting off Sfira. And therefore, that, as someone also pointed out, that would be whether you hold in the Etzem Svara or the Svara of Tosafos and Sfira, would have a nafkamina for the second night. The second night doesn't affect Sfira. So you have a problem with Tosefus the second night or not. Other issues. But this is one of the nafkaminas you were asking about. If you take Rav Sternbach's explanation, this is one of the reasons why it might be significant that Shavuos doesn't have a date. Are there other points that might be relevant? Also, the whole status of Yontif Sheni is interesting, because the truth is, Misvara, one should say that there's no Yontif Sheni on Shavuos, because normally Yontif Sheni is about my not knowing when it is, but it has when Rosh Chodesh falls out, it doesn't really affect when Shavuos is. Shavuos is 49 days from the second day of Pesach. By the time you're that far away from Pesach, so you know for sure when that's going to be, because you already knew when Pesach was, so you can count from then. So really, we never had a Sfeika D'Yoma L'Gabe Shavuos. So the Rambam writes already, the fact that we have Yantav Sheni by Shavuos is really a different din, a din that we don't want to be cholik, we don't want to distinguish between the different Yom Tovim, so we made Yantav Sheni across the board. Even though by Shavuos, really, it doesn't seem like there was ever a Sveik of the Yom, it doesn't seem like there's any reason to have said that. Sorry.
Which day would we count from Pesach? Like, are we not sure about even Pesach, which day we're doing it?
No, but the Mafreya we're sure.
From
the second day. From the second day of Pesach is when we start counting the 49 days. Right, so once we're a month later, we know when it was. So by the time we hit Shavuos, so we don't have a suffix. And even if it doesn't matter when the Rosh Chodesh of Sivan is, because it's not a date in Sivan, it's 49 days there, so we don't have to know what's going to happen, even though it's relatively early in the month, and so we probably don't know when Kiddush HaChodesh took place for that month, but it doesn't matter, because it's not about that date. So that's another, just not much of an afkamina, but it's somewhat relevant to the datelessness of Shavuos. But there's also the issue that we were discussing, that the Lubavitcher Rebbe has this, printed in his Chidushim Biurim al HaShas, to believe Chelek Aleph, has this very unique shita as far as Shavuos is concerned, as far as Sfira is concerned, because he writes that if somebody crosses the date line on Shavuos and ends up with a different count than everybody around him, so he still keeps the count that he's on, that he acquired for himself, because the Torah says, "Usvartem lachem," as understood, "Shehei sfira l'kol echad v'echad." The sfira is an independent, personal thing. So therefore, he counts as an individual sfira, albeit different than everybody else. And says the Rabbi Zatzal, he would keep his own shavuos as a consequence, because again, shavuos not having a date, shavuos is connected to that particular reality. That's a fascinating idea. Another possible ramification of Shavuos having its own way of getting to things. Okay, so maybe we'll stop there. Just to quickly, we spoke about the din of Tosefis, Shabbos, and Yontif. The fact that it's learned out from the Pasuk, and as far as Yom Kippur is concerned, the Machlokas Rishonim, most Rishonim saying that Tosefis, Shabbos, and Yontif is always Menat Torah. The Rambam limiting it to Yom Kippur and limiting it to Inoy. We asked about whether Tosefes is about creating Kedusha and actually making Shabbos Yantif, or is it really not about that, it's just about abstaining from Malacha, presumably as a Siag, as suggested by the Medrash and Bereishis. And we talked about some possible nafkaminas, the question of whether you can have, whether you can get married during Tosefes, is there a Simcha or not, seems to be a Machlokas 2 days in Tosas and Ksubis. The question of whether there is a... whether you can have Sudas Shabbos during his Zman HaTosefes, 2 days in Tosfos and Pesachim, and Machlokas between the Maharshal and the Taz. We had mentioned also it's not going to help us for Pesach in any event. A question of the Maharshal's position that you shouldn't eat early after bringing in Shmini Atzeres early, because you won't know what to do the Bracha, and the Taz dismissing that. And we talked about the inconsistent Taz, apparently the one that says that community that brought in Shabbos to cancel Rosh Hashanah's shofar blowing, that's nothing. And we talked about the Nitziv's question about a woman who brought in Yontif and then has a question of Avelus. And then we talked about the issue of Shavuos, the Taz and the Magen Avraham having this Chumrah that you shouldn't daven early because it cuts off the Sfira, and that concern would only apply to the Taz's view and not to the Maharshal's view. And then we discussed how could we still forget about a Din Dareis of Tosefes because of such a position. And we mentioned the view of the Rav Sternbach, then Modem Uzmanim, that the fact that Shavuos has no date, therefore requires us to actually finish Sfira before bringing it in. We mentioned some alternative explanations as to why Shavuos should not be early, the use of the word Etzem in the Pasuk, as the Nitziv explains, and also the suggestion that Kriya Shema can't be Yosem, we daven Kriya Shema early, and Rashi, Shita, and Brachas that we rely on Kriya Shema Lamita, so there's no Kriya Shema Lamita because we don't stay up all night, so then maybe that's a problem. And then we discussed a few other points, the question of the status of Yontif Sheni, that seems to come from a different source as far as Shavuos is concerned, and also the Lubavitcher Rebbe Shita, that one who crosses the international dateline will count his own Shavuos based on his own sphere. Okay, so we will stop there. Do you know how to turn this off? Okay. Sure.